knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Oh Lord, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, and as we gather, may your Spirit work within us. And as we gather, may we glorify because we came. Oh Lord, we'll be blessed because we came. One more time as we gather. And as we gather, may your Spirit work within us. And as we gather, may we glorify your name. And knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Oh Lord, we'll be blessed because we came.
How many are glad for that? Amen. Just because you came today, amen, you'll be blessed, amen, to hear the word of God. Amen. Let's just sing that song, My Jesus, I Love Thee. How many love the Lord this morning? How many come in expectation today? Amen.
And my Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine for Thee. the if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
And how many can say that after all that you've been through, all that you walk, that it's, he's more to you now than he ever has been before? Amen. Amen. Just sing that song, "Oh Lord, please use me and don't refuse me."
Oh Lord, please use me and don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and your shame is undone, your presence, Lord. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. And Holy Spirit, you are with. Lord, we welcome you here today. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Just give a little round of applause, amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness.
That your desire today, amen, amen. We don't have any prayer requests we know of. Just keep Brother Josiah. We have ministering for us today, amen. Keep him in prayer that God would just speak through him. Pray for our pastor as he's down in Florida there on a little family getaway there. So keep them in prayer, and the Charlie Mercies will be with them as well. Amen. Just gonna ask Brother Simon, can we just a word of prayer also for the tithes and the offerings?
Bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, Lord, we just love thee, God, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together once again, Lord, the spiritual family of God, Lord, in this little area here, God, Lord. And Lord, we just bless each heart, Lord, that pressed their way out, God, Lord. And Lord, like the song was sung, Lord, may your presence be felt here, God, Lord. May the atmosphere just come down, God. We just love you, Lord. We believe it can, Lord. We know it can, Lord Jesus, Lord. We just have to pull out, God. Pull as hard as we can, God, for you, Lord Jesus, God. We love you, Lord. We want to give you all the praise and glory and honor, God, for you're worthy, Lord Jesus, Lord. And Lord, for surely no man could do the things that you've done, God, Lord. There's no one, nothing that could touch, Lord, what you've done, God, Lord. You've been creation, God, Lord, and you're going to finish that which you started, Lord Jesus, Lord. And we're believing it's going to run through our lives, God, Lord Jesus. And Lord, that you're going to use us, Lord, in powerful ways, God, Lord. And Lord, I believe you are still doing that right now, God, Lord. It's from what I've heard, Lord Jesus, Lord. Many signs and wonders and miracles, Lord Jesus, are done, Lord, continually, God, throughout the body, God. We just love you, Lord. Lord, just touch each heart this morning, God, Lord. Lord, just soften each heart, God, Lord. And Lord, may the word be able to be planted, Lord, in there. And may it grow and flourish, Lord Jesus. We just love you, Lord. Bless the tithes and offerings, Lord Jesus, Lord. And Lord, just bless our brother, God, as he brings the word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Let's just sing that song. Singing a long while. Old-time religion, amen. How many are thankful for that old-time religion? All the way back to Book of Acts, amen. Amen.
Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that. Oh, yeah.
religion good enough for you, amen? Amen. If it ain't starting them devils flying, we need to recheck our religion, amen? Amen. Just sing that song, Victory, Yes, Victory. Amen. We sang it once, hopefully it'll come back to you. So.
Hallelujah, what a thought, Jesus, full salvation brought. Victory, victory. Let the powers of sin assail, heaven's grace has never failed. Victory, 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 yes, victory. Hallelujah, I am free.
Amen. How many are so thankful for that? Amen. A message of the hour that's called us out. Amen. Amen. Just sing that song, My Chains Are Gone, I've Been Set Free. Amen. But anybody, any people ought to be able to sing that. It ought to be us today, saints. Not by anything that we are, but by God's grace and His grace alone. Amen.
And amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, ransom me. And like a flood, Your mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
Was grace.
Was grace that's on my heart to fear, and great my fear relief. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
Think about it, saints.
The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my strength and portion be as long as life endures.
Amen. Worthy, Lord. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. sing a little song. Only believe, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe, as our brother Josiah would come. Amen. And only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
Thank you so much, musicians. That's a beautiful song to come up the pulpit for. Certainly, sir, appreciate the opportunity to come before you folks this morning. A beautiful morning in the gospel light, I believe it is. We can say that we've been privileged to come into this light and just bask in it together one more time before the coming of the Lord. I bring greetings from Brother Paul LaFontaine's church up in Toledo. We want to greet you in the name of the Lord up there. We're just laboring right there with you. And also spent last night with a dear, precious brother up there in Ann Arbor and the saints there in Ann Arbor. Also want to send you their greetings. So we just are happy to be here with you this morning. Before we turn to the Word, let's go ahead and turn to the author. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Father. Our minds are perhaps a little scrambled this morning, Lord. But Father, it's not our minds that's we're relying on, Father. And certainly there's hearts that would come here this morning that they're scrambled too, Lord. And it's scrambled in confusion and perhaps hurt and pain. And Lord, anxiety, anticipation, nervousness, fear for the hour. Lord, it's all right there amongst us, Lord. But what we're looking for is your mind, Father. And Lord, we know that that mind had us in it before the foundation of the world. And so, Father, we just want to find our place right there in your mind this morning. That somehow you would guide our thoughts and guide our thinking, Lord, and bring your mind to us, Father. May you come and move on the scene now this morning, I pray. In your precious name, amen. I was trying to think of the brother's name that was up there in Ann Arbor. I said my mind was scrambled this morning, Brother Ben Norod. We were there fellowshipping with Brother Ben Norod in special meetings last night. And my goodness, we had such a wonderful time with the Lord up there. And it seemed so much to me that I couldn't quite catch the thought of the Lord in the morning during my studies yesterday. I knew kind of the direction he wanted to send me in, but I just couldn't quite catch the key to it. And sitting there in the service, the Lord brought something to me. And you always wish you had more time to prepare after that, but you just do the best you can. And it just opened up this Bible a whole other time to me. And so we're just going to bring the fresh chill of the Word before you this morning. And I do believe that if we just come alongside that fresh chill up here, if you'll draw aside with me in the plains of Mamre, as it were, I believe we'll have Melchizedek come and drop beside us this morning. If you would turn with me in Revelation chapter 5. We're going to start with verse 1. Say amen when you got it. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, no man in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book or even to look thereupon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read that book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which were the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And I want to focus on that this morning. He came and took the book. And let's turn over to Revelation chapter 7. We have someone else taking this book. Revelation 10 and verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down. We know that mighty angel was Christ. From heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. In verse 8, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel, and said unto him, give me that little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall be in thy belly bitter, and it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And we look at this and we know that this is the scripture for our time. But in order to have a full understanding of what it is that we're looking at the end of time that we're at now, I believe we have to go back to the beginning. And so that's where I'd like to start out with my real text at. Sorry to skip you all over, but let's go back right to the beginning of the book. In Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, it's written, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word as you're seated. I begin to imagine what it was like at the very beginning. We talk about the attributes of God, and we talk about how God is manifesting His attributes all through the age, but yet here we find God's most relevant attributes to our lives expressed right here at the very beginning of the book. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so we find out that from the very beginning, the very first book, the very first verse, God is saying, I am a creator. I created the heavens and the earth. When there was nothing that was existing, when there was no imagination, there was no one around to even imagine what could be, there was no one around to even imagine what possibilities might be there, brother. When there was no one to imagine what possibilities might be in your life, I proved myself way back here at the beginning that I'm a creator. And then it said, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth, and upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved across the waters. And we go back and we listen to Brother Branham as he describes what it must have been like, and it's a beautiful picture when God created the heavens and the earth. And he says it must have been when that Logos went out there and began to speak that spoken word, all of a sudden you see some great clinker go off into the distance. And what was that clinker? It was the earth spinning in this great darkness, this great void. And that earth was just spinning there until all of a sudden God said, stop, right there. He had a position that he had in mind for that little piece of earth. And he said, as more clinkers went off and more clinkers, and what was it? It was God writing out His Bible. He began to position the heavens and He began to position the earth, and He had a plan. He had a master plan that He was working towards. Amen. And so we begin to see that God is not only a creator, but we see that he's got a blueprint. He's not a creator that just snaps his fingers and everything is there. But this God has a plan in his mind. Amen. And he's trying to bring that plan to pass. Amen. And so as God begins to sketch out across the sky like a great big Etch-a-Sketch, oh my, how must have been to see that if you can go back and imagine it. But all of a sudden he had a place where he wanted that earth to stop rolling. Amen. And that earth had to stop right there because there was a foreordained position for it. Amen. Oh my. Wasn't the only place out there. There was Jupiter, there was Mars, there was Pluto, there was Venus, there was all these other ones. But this earth, all of a sudden, God said, I'm going to choose it. He says the earth was without form and void. It was just like everything else. You go out there and if you look out in the great galaxies today, Brother David, you'll find that there's still planets that are without form and void today. You can look at Jupiter and that great big planet that's almost the size of the sun, but my goodness, it's still without form and void. It's just gases upon the face of the earth. That's all it is. It's just if you tried to walk upon Jupiter today, you would fall right to the center of Jupiter because it's just a great bunch of gases. Nothing's been separated out. But God looked upon all these bodies. He said, this earth over here, it doesn't look any different. This earth doesn't seem any different. Matter of fact, it seems a lot smaller than Jupiter. It seems a lot smaller than Mars. It seems insignificant. It seems like it's nothing. But I have a plan for it. Because before the foundation thereof, I had a plan in my mind. And I positioned it that place for a purpose. And I told it to stop, and I aligned it just in the right place. Yeah. I aligned it just so that it could receive the light from the sun that I'm going to bring to pass one day. Amen. He said, I've got a plan for this little, seemingly insignificant earth. Amen. And so it says, the earth, like everything else, was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And so God says, like a great builder that begins to plan out his building site. A great builder that he's built many other homes and he's done many other things. He's created angels and everything else. But Amen. Now he wants to build something for himself. Amen. And he looks for just the perfect place, doesn't he, Brother Stephen? Looks for that mountain or that little hilltop that the sun will rise over here and the sun will set over here and you can see it all. And he says, right upon that place, that's where I'm going to prepare a place for my habitation. Amen. And that great builder begins to lay down his tools and he brings down all of his materials to the site. And he begins to have a plan and he's got a blueprint. Before he ever goes to the site, he's got a plan for it.
Amen. Yeah.
And so he comes up to this place and he says, now I'm going to start. I'm going to start doing something. And he hasn't done anything yet. He hasn't even touched it yet. He's just got his tools there, doesn't he?
Right.
He's just got a plan. He's got a blueprint. Beginning to bring the materials on site, but he hasn't done anything. He hasn't broken earth yet. And that's where God is here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. The Spirit of God began to move upon the face of the waters. But all of a sudden, God said, let there be light. All of a sudden, the Creator begins to become a builder, and he begins to pull something else onto the site that's never been there before. The world was without form and was void and darkness was there. But all of a sudden God said, I'm going to have light. No one's ever seen light before, but I have a plan for this light to come forth. And it's going to pierce the darkness of this earth.
Amen.
Oh my. Let's keep reading the scripture. We're going to stay here in Genesis 1 for a while this morning. We're going to stay there until we see something that we've never seen before. And so God said that it was good. And then God divided the light from the darkness. So what does he do? He actually says, let there be light. And light begins to come into this dark world. But the light shone into the world, and yet it had to be divided.
Amen.
The light had gone into this great gaseous world, and you can see it today. You can go to Jupiter, and you can go to Mars, and see how the light goes in that great big fog of the earth. But it's still not real light yet.
Amen.
It's still darkness and it's still confusion. There's grayness and it seems like something might be there. But I don't know what it is. And that's where this world stood. He's like, there's light coming into me, but still there's darkness, and it's not yet separated, and it's just confusion, and it's a great cloud, like it was this morning when we woke up in the morning and the fog was all around us. The light hadn't yet been separated from the darkness. In other words, to say the light shone into the darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. But now God came in and he said, now I'm going to separate that light from the darkness. He said, I'm going to call it forth. I'm going to say to, and I'm going to pull out that light. I'm going to say, come out from among them. Be not partakers of their plagues. Be ye separate, therefore. Amen. And so God begins to move, and all of a sudden this earth that's sitting there, he thought it was just like Jupiter. He thought it was just like Mars. He thought it was just like the rest of them. He thought it was just like the other ones that sat in some denominational church somewhere. He thought it was just like, oh my, I wonder if there's someone here that can identify this morning. They sat at a bar someplace, and he thought it was just like the other ones at the bar. He sat in the schoolyard someplace on the recess playgrounds, and he thought it was just like the other kids at the recess playground. But all of a sudden, God began to speak light into it. And the other ones, they didn't see the light. Jupiter didn't see. There's no record here that Jupiter saw the light. There's no record here that Mars had any light yet. But all of a sudden, this earth came into manifestation. He said, there's something happening to me. It's never happened before. We don't know how long that earth stood there in darkness. But all of a sudden, in just a moment of time, there was grayness there. Oh, it was confusion, but he said that something's happening. Something's building up. Something's changing. I've been in darkness this whole time. But now something is transpiring here that I've never experienced before. Amen. And God continues to move. And he says, God divided the light from the darkness so that all of a sudden this earth could look at himself and could see what state that he was in. Oh, he hadn't changed any. He was still without form and void. It was just that the darkness had left, but he still had no form. There was no ground. There was no water. It was just all gaseous mixes. Down here at the very bottom, there was a great cluster of gases. And up here at the very top, there was just real light gases like clouds, but there was still no form about it. Just like it is with Jupiter today. The only thing that was different between the Earth at that point and those other heavenly bodies is that he had begun to recognize the state that he was in. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that the way it is with a Christian today? Amen. Oh, we hadn't. There wasn't anything that changed in our lives. There wasn't anything that we had done in ourselves. But all of a sudden, we could begin to recognize that there's a life. There's something about me. I can recognize that I'm without any righteousness, that my righteousness is as filthy rags. Right, and that there's nothing that I can do about it. Oh, it was almost better. It was almost better when I was back there like Jupiter and Mars and all the rest of them, when I couldn't see how dirty I was. I couldn't see how filthy I was. But all of a sudden, this light has invaded my darkness. It's come here and torn down the walls that I had built up. It's torn down these walls that I built up around my heart. Things that I had tried to mask and cover over my eyes and try to pretend that this wasn't there and this temper wasn't there and this lust wasn't there and this little desire for the world wasn't there. I tried to say, well, it's just like Jupiter. It's just like Mars. But no, this light has invaded my darkness and there's nothing I can do about it because there's the power of a builder over my life. There's someone that's spoken over my life. What is it? It's a life underneath the power of the spoken word.
Amen.
And so the builder continues his building. The earth hasn't changed any. The only thing that the earth has recognized that I'm filthy. There's nothing to me. I need redemption somehow. Something needs to change in my life. There's no good about me. But now we come here, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And the day's done. And the earth goes back into darkness, goes back into confusion. He's got light. He had light for a moment. And all of a sudden the day's done. And it seems like maybe all that was just a momentary glimpse. Maybe it's all done with. And this evening light set, the sun sets again, and we are shrouded in darkness. But you see, the earth didn't realize what had happened. Something had happened that now a cycle had begun. A cycle of day and night had begun over the face of the earth. He thought he was going back to that comfortable darkness. Maybe he'd rolled into a service somewhere, accidentally, perhaps, and sat down just to see what the gospel preacher had to say that day. Amen. He got a glimpse of light that was awfully uncomfortable. He said, I believe in this place. And he went out from those back doors there and said, I ain't never coming back. And he went down to the bar room, perhaps, and said, I'm going to drink this away. I don't want to have this happen again. What was it? The same thing that's happening right here, Genesis chapter 1. Seemed like that the sun was setting and he'd gone back into his darkness, but he didn't realize that a cycle had begun. Amen. And so now the second day comes upon him, and all of a sudden God begins to speak again, the power of his spoken word. And he says, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Something happens in that old guy that was there at the bar, went out and partook in his worldly things, and he says, you know, I just feel something drawing me. There's something that gospel preacher said that day. I can't put it behind. It's still speaking out to my life. And all of a sudden, the word begins to draw him and pull him back into that service. He finds himself underneath the power of the spoken word again, this time showing him that there's a purpose, that it's not just light coming in to make him feel uncomfortable, not just light coming in to make him feel like he's gross and without form and void, naughty, terrible, put him underneath condemnation. But no, there's a word here that's going to separate. And what God is doing is he's taking, if you read the scripture here, the firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. What it is now the gas is separating and you're making a sky with clouds. And you're making a dense liquid now with a sea. And so now the end of the second day closes out. And the world stands there. He says, wow, I found out that maybe I've got a purpose in all this. Maybe there's something that God's trying to form into my life. He's building me up for something. I realize that God, this isn't a God of wrath. This isn't a God that just comes down and shines his light into me to show me how dirty I am and how filthy I am. This isn't a God of condemnation. This isn't a God that just says, you know what? Jupiter and all these other ones out here, they're all right. They can enjoy the sin and filth and everything else, but I'm going to make you feel bad about it. And that's how the earth thought that day. He thought that this God just makes me want to feel bad about my sin. Why can't I be like all the other planets out there and go and enjoy it? But he came back to service the next morning and he found out that that wasn't the kind of God he was. Amen. That this God had a plan for him. Amen. And he didn't just want to shine light into his darkness to make him see how bad he was, but he wanted to come and transform him. He wanted to show him the power after an endless life, Amen. The power of the transformation of the builder. And so now at the end of the second day, the whole world is just sitting there. And all of a sudden, he realizes that he's more beautiful than he was before. Well, it's not just darkness and gases and clouds and deep and all this, but all of a sudden, he's this great big ocean over the face of the earth. And the light is shining upon him. He feels, as the light glistens off his great ocean that he is, he says, wow, this is great. This is wonderful. I'm not like those anymore. I've been changed. There's something in my heart. This old stony heart that I've been given, it's been changed to a heart of flesh. Amen. Something's changed in me. Right. Oh, this is glorious. And the day ends. And we see that God's not done there, is he? He comes forth and he says, now, in the next day, I've got something else for you. Let's read it. Verse 9. He says, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And he said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb-yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And so the earth brought forth the grass, and all of a sudden the earth began to do what the Word of God told it to do. It wasn't striving, and it wasn't pushing. It wasn't trying to be all this, but it was just hearing the Word for its day.
Amen.
And it was coming underneath the power of the Word for its day, and it was doing it and being transformed thereby. And so the world just looks at this light, and it's coming down, and it hears a voice, and the voice is speaking, "Let the dry lands appear." And we don't know how long it might have been that the world was in that condition. We're told that 1,000 years as a day, perhaps it was, that the world had to wait for a long time until all of a sudden that light could shine enough that the waters began to evaporate off the face of it, and it began to recede and pull back over here. And all of a sudden he thought he was so beautiful. The world thought he was so pretty there with all that light shining upon his glistening waters. But then came something up that he'd never seen before. How many has ever swam in a pond? You ever let your feet touch the bottom of the pond there, Brother David? You're smiling. I see that, Brother Simon. Yeah. What is it? It's this clay. It's this yucky stuff that's down at the bottom. So when those waters receded, what was there? All this filth, all this contamination, all this clay, all this grossness. He found out, "Lord, you're making me look bad again. Here I was, I had beautiful water over me, and now I look terrible all over again. Why are you doing this?" And yet, as he stayed in the light that had been provided for him, as he stayed in that gospel light, that old dirty ground that was mucky and dirty and wet and clay-like began to dry out. And after time, it began to be fit to fulfill the Word of God that said, you know what, there's seeds that have been lying there. You didn't know that there was a seed lying there already. But when I created you, I provided a seed already inside of you.
Amen.
And now, let the seed bring forth after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And so we go out throughout the rest of creation. We see that in the fourth day, God creates lights and puts lights to be able to guide man, and writes his Bible in the stars more completely, and lights for the direction. And in the fifth day, he begins to create more and more. And let's go ahead and pick it up here at verse 20. "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth and the open firmament of heaven." And we see that God creates the big whales, and he creates the birds, and he creates the fowls, and he begins to start with a lower form of creation until we find out that the earth gets to hold what God wanted it to hold the whole time. We come into the sixth day, and God speaks these great words. He says, "Let us make man in our own image." And so now this earth gets to have the privilege of holding the very image of God upon it, and the very image of God and the feet of God walking upon its face. And it says this, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female. He created them." In verse 28, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the face of the earth." And we go on down, and the day closes out, and it says that it was very good. And so we get down to the end of God's creation, and we find out that man has been made in his very image and given dominion on the face of the earth. Then what happens? We see a beautiful type as we roll on into the seventh day. We know that God created the earth in 6 days or in 6,000 years. And the seventh day, man begins to live out his dominion and live out a millennium reign with Christ. And we're told that the seventh day, there's still time there. There's still 1,000 years, as it were, in that day. Just like there's going to be 1,000 years in the day of our millennium before we roll over and time is no more. And we go on into eternity with Christ. And if Adam and Eve could have stayed in that day, and if they could have perhaps lived out that 1,000 years, they would have rolled right over into eternity. But something happened. We know that Adam and Eve couldn't stay there, and the serpent came and beguiled Eve and caused her to disbelieve the word of God. Here the earth had received it and had done its part, and then Eve comes along and takes one little word and the whole earth falls. Brother Branham says this about it. It's so poignant. Speaking about the power that Adam had over the earth, he says that Adam had an abstract title deed to the earth. That Adam had dominion in this earth. He was as a god upon the face of it. He had complete authority, that earth had to obey his word. It was no longer the original owner. You see, the builder had built this house.
Amen.
But now, when he was done creating this earth, he handed the deed over to his son. And he said, now it's yours. Now you have authority. And he did that in the sixth day, and Adam received the abstract title deed in the evening of the sixth day. And he took that abstract title deed and carried it over into his millennium reign. And so now when they fell, that abstract title deed was forfeited. Brother Branham says this. He says the forfeited title deed is now in the hands of the original owner, Almighty God. The title deed to the earth and to eternal life, when Adam had forfeited it, then Satan's dirty hands could not take it, so it went back to its original owner, God himself. And we're going to find out in just a minute that there he sits on the throne with it in his hand, the title deed. And he says, oh, that makes me feel religious, friends. The title deed to eternal life, abstract title deed to earth. When Adam forfeited it for the wisdom instead of faith, it went back to the hands of the Almighty God, the original owner. What a great thing. And he says, there it sits in the hands of the original owner who's sitting upon the throne in Revelation chapter 5. And so now this abstract title deed had been forfeited, and Adam and Eve walk outside the garden, Eve crying, her hair hanging over her shoulders. She knew what she had done. She knew that she had just blown every chance they had had. She had just given it up for a momentary pleasure, something that she thought would give her more life than what she already had. And she had traded it for death. And Adam there with his arm over her as they went out of the garden and they began to have to make a life for themselves. And we see different ones coming up. No doubt, they told the story of how beautiful it was there in the garden to Abel and to Cain. And said, it was beautiful. It was gorgeous. Brother Branham said that they had a perfect understanding of the love of Christ. They had a perfect dominion. They had perfect authority. When they went to bed there at the night, Adam just said, here, tiger, come over here. Lay down by my side here. Wrap around my bride. I want her to have a pillow tonight. And they had a perfect dominion and a perfect authority, perfect understanding of God's love and a perfect fellowship one with another. There was no barriers. There was no complexes between man and wife. There was nothing that she felt at the end of the day, before we go to bed tonight, I just have to say this. There was nothing of that. It was perfect fellowship. And they had perfect fellowship with God as he walked in the garden with them. But all of it was lost. And no doubt, as the generations went on, we hear that man began to call upon God. And they began to be struck with this story of their great-grandparents as they began to tell them around the campfire about how it must have been. And no doubt, little Enoch was there growing up as a child. And he sat around the campfire with his great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, Adam, who was still alive at the time. And he sat and he listened to all these stories about how it was and how it could have been if they hadn't have done the things the way they did. And something began to pulsate in his heart. Something began, oh, I was there with them. Were you? Could you identify yourself with someone that began to say, I heard a story one time. I heard a story of how it was, how it must have been. And it resonated within me as truth. I knew there was something that I was called to that I didn't have now. That I shouldn't have the hard life of tilling this soil like Enoch had to till it. And he'd get out there every day and he'd think about as he began to till the soil and push that plow. And the sweat began to drop from his brow he began to think about how perfect it must have been. And he'd come at the end of the day, and the crops were bad that year, and he had his family with him. He had to see his little starving wife there. He began to pray and began to cry out to God. Why do you think that man began to cry out to God? It was because man had needs. They had things that they needed to have satisfied. They had desires in their heart. They had brokenness in their hearts. And they had physical needs, and they had a need for healing. They heard this old gospel story from Adam, how it could have been. And something in Enoch's heart began to cry out and say, "Oh Lord, I need a place of redemption. I need a pathway back to you. Lord, there must be a way back. There must be a call. There must be a pathway back to the Garden of Eden. Lord, surely it's not all lost. Lord, I know that you have the abstract title deed in your hands. Lord, you built this earth. You created, oh God. I know that you have it. Somehow there must be a pathway that I could come and stand before your throne and receive that title deed back again." But there was not yet a provided way. But his heart was desperate as he began to call upon God. He began to walk with God. I wonder what those first few steps must have been like. No doubt he was praying in his prayer chambers. He said, "Lord, I just need that title deed back. I want an entryway back into Eden." And something began to talk to him back as he talked to the Creator. He said, "If you'll just walk with me, if you'll just follow my commandments, if you just follow in my precepts, just follow, there's a provided way." And so Enoch began to walk with God. No doubt he'd walk as far as he could and began to enjoy the fellowship of his Maker. And the evening lights would begin to close and the sun would set. He had finished his day's worth of work. He had tried to finish it early that day so that he could come home and start his walk with God, his devotions with the Lord, just as early as he could that evening. He had finished his evening meal and said goodbye to the family. "I'm going to go out walking again." The family couldn't understand it, why old dad, Enoch, kept on going out on these long walks. And he wished that evening light wouldn't have to set like that. Because he knew that evening light at the close of that day meant that he had to go back home. He couldn't go on into an eternal day. That evening light at the end of each day was his signal that he'd had to go back to his bedroom. And he had to leave off fellowship with his Maker. But he would try again and again, keeping on to pound upon the gates of God and saying, "Lord, I just want a way back. I just want it that when that evening light sets, I wouldn't have to turn back, Lord. That when that evening light sets, I could just take another step and be right there in your presence, Lord, right back to Eden." And God honored his prayer. God said, "You know what, Enoch? The time is not yet. I have a plan and it has to be fulfilled. But I hear what you're telling me. I see your perseverance. I see your desperation." And one day, Enoch didn't come back home. For Enoch was not. But it didn't stop man from calling upon the presence of God. All of a sudden, man began to get more desperate. They began to write in their records and their annals that there had been a man that had walked so closely with God that God just took him. And man began to call upon God even more. And when the voice of God came to Noah, he listened to it. And he knew that if his father had walked with God like that, then surely he could perhaps find a way back, find a way of redemption. And man, through the ages, we find out they kept on walking with God. And we come to the man named Abraham. And Abraham heard the voice of God one day calling. And he said, "If you'll just leave all your people, if you'll just listen to my voice that says, I've given you light, I've given you my word, I've given you what I want you to do, now just separate from among them." And Abraham began to recognize, that's the voice of the Creator. That's the same voice that spoke out to the world and spoke light into that darkness and pulled it out. What might it do to my life? And Enoch, as Abraham listened to that voice, he left behind everything. He left behind his father and everyone. He left behind his home. He left behind his pleasures. He left behind everything that he was accustomed to. Everything that was his identification. Because there was a voice that he was more identified with. There was a voice that was striking a desire in his heart to be able to walk with his Maker. And he began to look for a city whose builder and maker was God, because he knew that if God had prepared a dwelling place, if God had built this earth and God had put all this effort into it, surely, surely there must be a place on this earth that God was going to dwell. Surely there must be a place that the city of Zion would come and inhabit at that place. Oh, if I could just find it. They didn't have maps back then. They didn't realize that Zion hadn't come, but Abraham thought, oh, if I could just find that city, maybe it's just over the next hilltop. And he began to walk and began to persevere and began to seek God. And he said, Lord, I don't know where it's at. I don't know where that city's at, but there's got to be a city. There was a longing within his heart. There's got to be a city. There's got to be a way back. There's got to be a place that I could come into the presence of God. Amen. And his heart longed for it. His heart longed for the day that he could see that city just over the next hilltop. But he was not to see it. David came. Other men of God. David began to express the same desire. He said, oh, that I could dwell in the tabernacle of the Lord all the days of my life. Amen. To inquire of the Lord in his temple. Amen. To see his beauty. But he could not. He could go to the temple and he wished he could be a doorman in the house of the Lord. He wished he could stay there as just a bellboy, perhaps, and just be able to dwell in the temple all the days of his life. But he had duties. He had things that drew him away, like these brothers here, these sisters, children that have to go to school, things that drew him out of the presence of God. He had to go and be a king, and he couldn't carry that presence with him. Oh my. But God had a plan, didn't he?
Amen.
God was building. You see, God in all this, though man became desperate, God never was.
Amen.
Satan thought that he'd pulled one over on the Maker. He said, oh, I got Eve to disbelieve your word. But God said, you know what? You're just letting me express another attribute. I've expressed myself as a creator. I've expressed myself to my people as a builder. But now you've just unleashed my power to express myself as a restorer.
Amen.
And so that's what God was doing. He took the first verse of the Bible and showed himself as a creator. He took the next two chapters of the Bible to show himself as a builder. And now he's taking the rest of this Bible to show himself as restorer.
Amen.
He said, I'll restore. One day there's coming a day that I'm going to restore everything that the palmer worm took. Everything that the canker worm took. Everything that the locust took. I'm going to restore it. And my people are going to have that abstract title deed again. And I'm not worried. I hear the cry of my people. I hear the cry going up of Israel and Egypt. I hear the cry of Job saying, oh Lord, if I could just come and knock on your door and talk it over. But I know that I'm going to make a way one day that my people can come and knock on the door of my house.
Amen.
And they can come and talk it over with me again.
Yes, Lord.
Because I'm going to show myself as a father. I'm going to show myself as one that sits down with his children and talks with them. And God had a plan. And so all of a sudden we come and the Old Testament ends, the New Testament breaks forth. And we see that people are still calling upon the name of the Lord. Simeon there and Anna in the temple. Simeon there with his great big beard. Long, wispy, no doubt. They didn't shave it back then. Part of the Jewish custom. Grown all his life and had turned gray. And yet, that beard turned wet every day as he began to put himself on his face and cry out to God, oh, that I might see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, Lord, that my eyes might behold your salvation. Lord, that I might be able to see the glory of your Savior. But it came to pass that Simeon got his request. God heard Simeon's prayer, and a little boy came forth. Simeon can hold that little boy, the literal living word, wriggling in his arms. He said, now I can die in peace, for my eyes have beheld the glory of the Lord's salvation. And that Christ began to grow up and grew in knowledge and understanding. And he began to grow in revelation and understand what it was that he was called to do in this world. That Savior, if you'll excuse me, began to understand just what it was that God had for him. He began to understand that he was called to be a redeemer. And he began to walk in that call as he began to identify these scriptures. He began to see that he was virgin born. He began to see when they began to read the scriptures on Isaiah, something dropped down to his heart. And he could see that he matched the pattern of the word. And he said, there's a place in that word for me to fulfill. And so Christ came forward and he died on the cross for our sins. And what was it? He made a way back. And a moment's time, Christ made a way back. And that's the gospel story. It's a beautiful story, isn't it? It's the story of a God that had lost his creation but still kept the title deed. And he knew there was time coming a time that he would restore it. And so now he sheds forth his Holy Spirit as he dies upon the cross. His blood goes into the earth, but his Spirit returns back upon the believer as a promise. That if you'll just believe on me, and if you'll just enter in to the way that I've given you, then you'll have eternal life. And so he rose up, and his disciples not yet having received the gift of the Holy Spirit, they said, Lord, we're going to get desperate now. You told us. You gave us your word. You told us to go to Jerusalem. You told us to go to an upper room. You told us to go there before Pentecost and wait until your Spirit came and poured upon us. Lord, I know that I don't have the power to be a witness yet. I know that I don't have the power after an eternal life yet. But Lord, you gave me your word, and I've seen you fulfill your word already. I've seen you fulfill your word that you would make a way of restoration. I've seen the Easter seal broke. I've seen a resurrection. And I know that if you can resurrect your own life when you're dead in the grave, you can resurrect my heart. And they began to cry upon the face of that earth. Oh, I wonder what it must have been like. I wonder what it was to hear the cries of the believers those 10 days. Hear the words that must have been spoken, the desperate cries that went forth, because they knew that there was a promise laying just over the threshold for them. Amen. And so they, having had this promise, knowing that they were about to be given power to become witnesses, they waited upon the promise, knowing that they had been looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith, and now they were waiting for him to finish that which he had already started. And God did not let his word return to him void. And so we see that the Holy Spirit begins to fall out upon them, and they come out on the day of Pentecost, and they're speaking as drunk men. And what's the question of all the Jews? We see that you have something that we have need of. We see that you have something that we're desiring. We've been desiring for this a long time. I desired it along with my father, my great-great-great-great-grandfather, Enoch. I'm a Jew. I'm a true Jew. And I've come here to celebrate Pentecost. And now all of a sudden, you've got something that I've been desiring all of my life. You've got something that David's been desiring, and Enoch, and Abraham, and everyone that's ever come forth. And now I'm here, and I'm standing here in this time. And I'm finding that you've got what I have. Now how do I get into it? And Acts 2:38 was spoken forth by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Repent in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so now the water gate has been made, and men began to pass through it 3,000 at a time. And the book of Acts begins to become written. And we find out that all of a sudden God had made good on his word. He had shown that he was restored. He had shown that he had given, he could give the title deed. He could give authority back to the believer. But what was it that Paul said? He said, speaking of himself as he looked back upon all the ages, he said that they without us were not made perfect. Abraham wasn't made perfect. Enoch wasn't made perfect. And all these down through the ways, Job wasn't made perfect. He desired to knock upon the house of God, but he wasn't made perfect. He couldn't do it, and David couldn't do it. But now he says, we've received the earnest, or we've received the down payment of the inheritance. And what was it? He recognized there was something more yet to come. The Holy Ghost had begun to make a way back. The water gate had been established. Acts 2:38 laid right there. But it wasn't finished. You see, there was more to be written. That first church age, as it rose up underneath Paul, he began to tell them about what was to come. He said that the whole earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's groaning, and we're looking for something more to come. And yet that church age fell short. We find in Revelation chapter 2, the angel speaking out to that first church age of Ephesus, he said that you ran well, but you lost your first love. And there at the Council of Nicaea, they sold out their first love, Jesus Christ, and took the power and the creeds of man's dogmas and sold out their first love. And their eyes shifted from the author and finisher of their faith, and they began to shift on three gods, and they began to shift on Mother Mary and the Immaculate Conception and all these falsehoods and all these wrong deities that began to come forth, and they lost the power. And now, what was it? It was Eve all over again. And we begin to look at it and we say, Lord, I thought you were going to restore this. I thought that you were going to show yourself as a restorer. And look, somehow Satan slipped in there yet again. Lord, how many times will he slip in there? How many times will we come right up to the threshold of it and not quite get over? Lord, I'm desiring to go all the way back to Eden. And God said, wait, I'm going to restore. Wait, I'm trying to build something here. Wait, wait upon the Lord. Those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew the strength, and they shall mount up on wings of eagles. And so now God sits there, and he's beginning to work in the back part of the shop, as it were, as a workman. And we hear him hammering out through the ages, and he begins to hammer out, and every once in a while we begin to see his work coming out from the workman shop. And we can see that Luther comes forth, and Luther begins to have a message of justification. We'd gone through the dark ages. We had lost our Bibles. We didn't even know what the Word of God said, but all of a sudden our Bibles were restored to us, and we could find that if we just believe on God, we're justified. We don't have to have man's creeds and dogmas about buying some sort of piece of paper that says I'm forgiven. We don't have to believe in some purgatory somewhere, but if I just believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm saved. I'm justified before God. Amen. And man began to believe upon the Word of God once again as it had been restored back to them. And God begins to show himself as a builder, just like he did with the earth. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And God comes forward, and he comes forward into a new day. A new day dawns. We thought the day was over with it, gone back, and denominations had built themselves up again after Luther had gone off the scene. Thus the evening time had set, as it were, and the sun disappeared, and we went back into our darkness, just like the earth after its first day went back into darkness. We thought, well, denominations are here. It seems like we don't have any more power. Luther came out, and Luther could raise the dead, and Luther could speak these things, and Luther. But we, now that these denominations have set upon us, we have no power. But another day was rising. Another day came forth. Another day burst forward, and the spoken word for that day came forth. A sanctified life, the message of sanctification. Amen. Wesley came on the scene. Wesley sounded that gospel horn, and we came underneath the power of that spoken word. And you've got brothers and sisters now lying in the grave that are still waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. They're still saying there's something more. We've got justification. We've got something, sanctification, but there's something in my heart that's calling me. There's something in my heart. I want more than this. I thought sanctification was it, but Lord, there's got to be an Eden somewhere. There's got to be a place where the builder and maker is God. I'm still searching for that city, and they're still there waiting for that city to come, just like we are now waiting for that city to come. But now it's a new day. Let's take a look at our day. Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 1. Now we can look around ourselves and we can see that the end has come. There's been a gospel trumpet that's been sounded. We know that the evening light is upon us. We can look and we can see the sign of the end time. We can see that Sodom has enlarged itself. We can see the Sodomites almost turning towards each other more than they're turning towards women anymore. We can see the signs of the time where women are becoming more beautiful. And yet, there's something else that's remaining in this day. In the sixth day, God said, let us make man in our image. We won't read it, but let's review it for just a moment. God comes forth and he says in the sixth day, let us make man in our image. What is that? God having fully expressed himself. God saying, I was building this image. We've come up through faith. We've come up through virtue. We've come up through knowledge. We've come up through godliness and sanctification and everything else. We've come up through brotherly kindness, and we think brotherly kindness looks so much like love. That little Philadelphia love looks so much like agape love. But there's something more yet to come. There's a stature of a perfect man that has to come down in this sixth day, where God says, I'm going to make a man in my own image, the stature of a perfect man, Christ Jesus. And that stature of the perfect man is being established now through divine love. And now when that man comes upon the face of the earth, he comes forth in the fullness and the power of Jesus Christ. And that's where we're standing today. A man that comes forth in the fullness and power of Jesus Christ. Not because he has faith only. Not because he has brotherly kindness. Not because he has a godly life. Not because he has virtue and strength and temperance. Not because he has a way to keep on plowing on. Not because he has perseverance. They had perseverance back in the day of Job. They had perseverance back in the day of Enoch when he walked with God. But there's something coming down upon the face of this earth that's never been here before. It's the stature of a perfect man, because we're coming into a sixth day, just like we see here in Genesis chapter 1. What is it? God coming down and manifesting himself in flesh once again. God saying, I'm going to build up the stature of a perfect man. I'm going to set down a capstone of divine love upon my people. And the way that I'm going to do it is I'm going to make them look back upon all the ages. I'm going to make them look back, and I'm going to make them see how it was that creeds and dogmas bound up their faith. And now we come to Revelation chapter 5, where it says, I'm looking for one who's worthy, worthy to open this book, worthy to take off these seven seals, worthy to loose them, and worthy to open that book. It's not just taking off the seven seals. That wasn't the point. The point wasn't taking off the seven seals. The point was opening the book. Amen. That's what it was that whole time. Because what was it? What was that book? That book was the abstract title deed to our inheritance. When Adam fell, that book went back in the hands of the Maker, and he sat down upon his throne waiting for the day when that abstract title deed would be redeemed. Amen. When we go back, we find our type perfectly in Exodus chapter 12, where it says that in the evening time, judgment is coming. The death angel is going to be passing over this land. They had seen many mighty signs and wonders. They had seen the days of Luther. They had seen the days of Wesley. They had seen the water turned into blood. They had seen the flies. They had seen everything. But now was a judgment that was coming. Now the death angel was about to be upon the land. And it was the evening time the prophet told them to take that lamb. It had been setting up for a long time, the prophet said. Brother Branham said, oh yes, they kept the lamb setting up from the 10th day to the 14th day. He says, yes, we've had the Lamb for a long time now. We've had the Lamb all through the ages. The Holy Spirit's been with us the whole time. The Holy Spirit's been there with Luther. The Holy Spirit's been there with Wesley. But he says, now it's time to apply the token. Now it's time to apply that blood upon the doorframe of our houses. And it's a time like it's never been before. And that's where we're at. We're at this evening time where now the fathers gather their families underneath a token. And they say, family, we've heard the prophet's message. We've heard what the prophet has to say. We have to slay this lamb now. We have to kill this lamb. It's been setting up the whole time. We've seen the word before us this whole time. But now, by the power of a messenger that's come forth and spoken to us, we've been told now to kill the lamb and to eat the entire lamb and the pertinence thereof. It's all there in Exodus 12. And now we come to Revelation chapter 5. And there's a lamb, bloody, broken, bruised for our iniquities. He's already done the atoning work. Yes, the atoning work is finished. It was finished at Calvary. It was finished before the foundation of the world, but there's been an appointed time. And he comes to take back that abstract title deed. What is it? Let's pick it up here. The breach between the seven church ages. What's it doing? It's in the hands of God, waiting for redemption claims. He made a way of redemption. He made a way back. That atonement was the way back. That atonement with that water gate, it was established. The gateway was there. But now Someday, the Redeemer is coming to take it back. And you see where we're getting to now. But watch this fellow sitting upon the throne. All right. Waiting for redemption claims. What is the book of redemption, this title deed? Abstract title deed. You say abstract. What does an abstract mean? It means it's searched all the way back to its beginning. Like that little drop of ink this morning when it struck the bleach. He goes on, he says, the abstract title deed is held in the hand of the Almighty. And its redemption means all legal possession that was lost by Adam and Eve. Oh my, what that ought to do to a born again Christian. So we see that this lamb that was bloody and broken, he made a way back already, back to the time of the atonement. But now that time of atonement was past. The Holy Spirit had fallen back upon the believers. They said that we have received the earnest. We've received the down payment of our inheritance. But we don't yet have the inheritance. We're looking for the manifestation of the sons of God. I'm thirsting for it. Paul was searching for that inheritance just like Job was. Just like Enoch was. Just like Abel was. He was thirsting for something more. And I'm here to tell you this morning, friends, that we have something more. We have something that's never been done before on the face of the earth, because that Lamb in this time and this hour came forth and he took the book of our inheritance and he stripped the seals off of it in 1963. And what did that do? That caused us to be able to see the Word of God. Oh my, I look in the Scripture. I look in the Scripture and I see that Scripture. Where it says, and I, John, they all heard me saying, everything that was beneath the earth and everything that was above the earth and everything that was in the earth, they heard me shouting glory and honor and praise to the Lord. I stop and I think, what must it be to shout that loud? Now, I've shouted pretty loud before. I've gotten in the spirit. I've danced and everything else, but I've never shouted so loud that I can say that, you know, the moles heard me and the worms heard me. The whales heard me and the birds heard me and all heaven and the angels heard me. I've never been that loud before. And I began to get jealous of John. Brother Branham said, oh, it must have been that he saw his name in the book. I said, Lord, I know that that seventh seal has been broken off. I know that it's been broken off and I can see this first four seals. I can see how in underneath there, the Antichrist is shown forth. But my name's not there. I want to see my name in that book, Lord. Where is that book, like John or Job, it was, that said, Lord, I just want to come up to your house and knock on your door. Lord, where is that book? Where can I go? Like Abraham looking for a builder, a city whose builder and maker was God. I was looking for a book in my life. Something that would make me scream like John screamed. Because I knew if John got that excited, I've been excited before, and I know what the heights of excitement are, but I've still never gotten that loud. I said, Lord, whatever's lying in that book, I want it for myself. Amen. I don't know what's in that book, but Lord, I want it. My name wasn't underneath the fourth seal. I looked there. I found the Antichrist. I wasn't identified thereby. I looked underneath the fifth seal. The Jews were there. I wasn't a Jew. That wasn't my name. I was looking for my name like John saw his name. Looked underneath the sixth seal and I saw tribulation. I'm not identified with that. There's nothing in me that says that. But there's something in the opening of this word. There's something that when I open my Bible now as I've looked back and all of a sudden the Word of God has been opened. And this little book has been opened before me. And I can see Jesus Christ. I can see Him in His fullness. Not bound by man's creeds and dogmas, not bound by man's understanding, but I can look back in that light like the world did one day and said, I still feel without form and void. I still don't know who I am, but I'm beginning to look at a light. I'm beginning to look at something like I've never seen before. Amen. It's a pure light. It's an unadulterated light. It's a light that's been called forth from denominations. The light shone in the darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. But hallelujah, there was a voice that spoke to me and it said, come out from among them and be not partakers of their plagues. And it separated the light from the darkness of my life. And I can look forth in that light and say, Lord, I can see your word. I can see this message. I can see the purity of Jesus Christ. I can see how beautiful you are. Lord, I can see that divine love like I've never seen it before. I can see that passion of Jesus Christ that cried out and said, Lord, I sanctify myself for their sakes. Lord, I do nothing except the will of the Father tells me to do it. I do not my own will. I can see the beauty of Jesus Christ for the first time, removed from man's creeds and dogmas. And all of a sudden, I found that that word had the power of the spoken word over my life. I was without form and void. Maybe you were too. You could say, I didn't have anything about me. But there was a word that came forth and began to speak over me. And now we can see where the church is being called to. We're called to a sixth day. We're called to the stature of a perfect man. We're called to an evening time where the token has got to be applied on our lives. But my friend, I've been building to this one question this morning. And my question for you is, what day are you in? What day, when you look back across your life, what day are you in? Are you that little clinker going out across the ocean or across the vast darkness of space and you haven't quite stopped yet? I hope this morning maybe a clinker came into the building and has stopped right here and sitting and listening to the Word of God. And you feel like, well, I'm just like everyone else. There's nothing special. On, I'm just going to live out my life like everyone else has. If I'm lucky, I'll get to be as rich as Donald Trump. And look at what that's brought him. Right. What an ambition. You know, there's worldly ambitions are all right, but there's higher ambitions than that. There's an ambition that comes from the cross of Calvary. An ambition where Jesus Christ said, I'm gonna restore my people back. And he showed us what true ambition was. He showed us a love that drives an ambition to redeem his people back. And so, maybe you're still here in verse 1 of chapter, can't even speak this morning. Genesis 1, verse 2, where it says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Maybe you're here this morning and you've sat down in a pew like that little clinker stopped for some reason in this little church building. And all of a sudden, you feel like there's something different today. You feel like there's a spirit here. I believe that Christ is here moving across our lives. I believe that there's a spirit here moving across and speaking to your heart this morning. Maybe you can say, Josiah, I don't have the darkness anymore. I can identify with the light. I know what that light is. But I still feel like I'm without form and void. Just wait. Those that wait upon the Lord, they'll renew their strength. They'll rise up and mount on wings upon eagles. Wait for the next day. And that next day came forward and all of a sudden the world was there and God began to speak his purpose into the earth. Maybe you can see yourself this morning like you've never seen yourself before. There's a purpose for you. There's not something that God just said, well, I'm just going to shine my light there and he'll be one of those that got the light and now I'm going to move on and find someone that can come into a full manifestation of the Son of God, can come into a full earth. No. He said, I've begun a good work in you. I'll be faithful. I'll be just. You do your part. You just come underneath the word for your day. Amen. Young man, young woman, maybe you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You can see that this word has been spoken across your life all your life. You've been coming here to a pew. You've been coming here and hearing the word of God. And you can see that there's a purpose for your life. But there's something more. You've never come to the waters of baptism. Then the word for your day this morning is the same word that was there in the second day for the earth. It says, let the waters part. Let them come forth from baptism and let them bring forth fruit after their kind. Amen. See, there's something lying inside of you way down below that you've never seen before. But if you'll just come to the word of your day and subject yourself to it, young man, young woman, if you'll just submit yourself to that day, what is it? The word for your day. If you've never done it, thus saith the Lord, the word for your day is repent. be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You'll come into a new day. You'll come into a day where you're bringing forth fruit unto God. But the world was there and it stood there and said, but I feel so beautiful right now. I feel my waters are over me and the light's here. And it would be awfully uncomfortable to show that I'm not so pure as I thought I was. It would be awfully uncomfortable to have that gray, slimy bottom of what I know is under there come forth. I don't want people to see that. I don't want people to see me come down to the waters of baptism. That would be uncomfortable. They would think that maybe I hadn't done that already. Or maybe you've done it before and it was in a different name. It was in the name of titles. It wasn't in the name of Jesus Christ. And you don't want to admit that you were wrong. You don't want to admit that being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost never gave you any power. You don't want to look back over your life and say, well, there was something wrong with that baptism because I'm not coming forth into another day. I haven't passed over my day. I wonder with the world, I wonder how long it was that the world argued with God. Did it hear the voice of God and come suddenly under it, Ethan, and say, Lord, I hear your voice and I'm going to do what you have for me to do? Or to say, no, I'm going to kick against the pricks. I'm so beautiful here, Lord, without it. But if the world had done that, it would have stayed exactly where it was. And one day, perhaps, the Spirit of the Lord would have had to find a different place. How long will you kick against the pricks, friend? I wonder if there would be someone here this morning that's been kicking against the pricks and said, I've been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, but I don't have the power of God. And I hear the voice speaking out to me this morning, repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I'll have seed bearing after my kind. Then I'll have life. Then I'll have the Holy Spirit. But I don't want to admit to people that I don't have the kind of Christian life I thought I ought to have. I don't want to admit to people that I have to be baptized again. That's your option, friend. But what I'm telling you, if you humble yourself, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven and I will come and heal their land. He'll come and restore to you that which Enoch has desired, that which Paul desired, that which every believer down through the age desired. He'll restore in your life. But you've got to come underneath the word for your day. And so we come forth, and I believe there's no doubt believers sitting here in our midst. We've come up unto another day, and we've said, I've repented. I've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I let those dry waters appear and or disappear, and I let the old mucky ground come forth, and I stood it down, and I saw the bitterness that was in my life when I came back from those waters of baptism. I saw the temper, and I saw everything else, and I'm there right now. And it seems like I haven't yet received the Holy Ghost. Friend, there's a promise. Amen. There's a promise that you'll receive the Holy Ghost. But what you have to do, don't turn back. Just stay underneath the light of your day. Stay underneath the Word of God. Amen. Continue to seek His face. Say, Lord, I know that this Word has been opened to me in this day. And if I'll just look into it, it's got a power to transform my life. Amen. And I know, and I can testify, friends, that Word, that light has a power to come forth and transform our lives and to take all that gray dirt, all that slimy clay, dry it out, make it a seed bed, bring forth the life of Jesus Christ. But friends, that's not the day that the church is in. You see, we've come to a point now. We've come right to a threshold. We've come right to a sixth day. And there's something more that we're longing for. There's something more that we're accountable for in this day. And every day I'm searching for it. I'm looking at the Word of God. I see how God came forth in the fourth day and established His guiding lights to the Word and established the Word of God and said, this is the end of the book. Revelation is here. I've finished the Old Testament. I've finished the New Testament. It's the end of the book. He finished the fourth day. He finished taking down those stars from heaven and placing them down upon pages. And God began to restore His church ages and began to start with the lower forms of life like He did back in this earth and start with the whales and the birds and the creeping things and sanctification and everything else. But we're coming to something else now. We're coming to something else. We're in another day. We're in a sixth day. A sixth day where there's a voice that's gone out. He said, let us make man in our image. And friends, when I look at the message around me, we who call ourselves the message, I wonder if we're all being really subject to that word that's coming forth in our day. Did we come to the third day and say, well, I'm good enough now. I've stayed underneath this light until I've gotten the Holy Ghost. See, that'd be fine enough. That'd be fine enough in another day. But that's not the day that we're in.
Amen.
That'd be fine enough if we were back there with faith and virtue and brotherly kindness and everything else. But there's something more that's to come to the face of this earth. Let's turn to it. Revelation 10. I want to pick that up again. So now we have the Lamb step forward and grab the abstract title deed. Now in verse 10 and 8, we'll start with verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take that little book. See, friends, that's where we're at today. The Lamb's come forth and taken that little book of redemption, the little book of the abstract title deed that had all the inheritance that we've been longing for all this time. The Lamb's taken that book. John wept because no one was found worthy, but finally this Lamb was found worthy that had been shed his blood from the foundation of the world. We go back to Exodus chapter 12, and it's the same lamb that was kept up for 3 days. And now it was time for the slaughtering of that lamb. And we had to eat that lamb, and that's what's being said right here. It says, go and take the little book. I've grabbed that little book. I've grabbed the book of inheritance back from the original. I'm the firstborn of many brethren, and I'm your intercessor. I'm your husband. I'm your Savior. I'm Jesus Christ. I'm the one that's done all this for you. And I've grabbed that little book. And now we've given the commandment, go and take the little book that's standing, that's open in the hand of the angel that's standing upon the sea of the earth. And we look and we find out that John, a type of the church, it goes to this mighty angel and he says to Jesus Christ, his husband, the church's husband, Christ, says, Lord, time is set. We've been waiting for this for 6,000 years. We've been waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God for 6,000 years. Now, I want that little book. Now I want to grab a hold of the abstract title deed. And it's given to him. And he's given with the commandment, go and eat that little book. And thou must prophesy again before many nations and tongues and peoples and kings. And then we find out with that power, the Spirit and the bride become one and they call, come. And we look back over in the token time and we look and we find out that the token, Brother Branham says this, he says that the token is God's requirement of the hour. The evening time message is to apply the token. It was fine in one day to just go ahead and believe on the Lamb. But in this day, we have to take that abstract title deed of our inheritance and believe for our families. And this is where I believe it's at, friends, today. I believe that there's a token that's got to be applied over our lives. I believe there's a token that we're accountable for. We've been longing for a long time for miracles and wonders and signs. And we've gotten them. We've gotten the miracles. We've gotten the signs. We've gotten the gifts restored back to the church. But there's one thing that's still lacking. There's one thing that's holding this the whole thing up from coming to a close. And it's that last one coming underneath the blood. That's the only thing I see is holding back the church. Is there someone yet still out from underneath that token? We have to find that one. There has to be such a desire in our heart that rises up. Yes, I've got the abstract title deed. Oh, friend, what day are you in? Are you back there in the third day? Are you longing for a fourth day? That's fine. It was said in, I believe it's this message, Things That Are To Be, if I can find it. Brother Branham said this. He said, these things that are to be, they're only potentials calling out for the things that are to come. You're finding yourself in a third day. You're finding yourself in a first day. But there's something more yet to come. It's beyond healings. It's beyond miracles. It's something that Christ was able to go to Peter and say, Peter, I know you're not converted. I know that Satan is going to try to sift you. I know that there's something coming into your life that Satan's going to try to do away with you. But don't worry, because I've prayed for you. And I'm identified with the one who holds the abstract title deed of your inheritance. I've applied the token over your life. I've gone ahead and I've paid the price and I've wept my tears over you. And I wonder if there's fathers in this place that can say, I've applied the token over my home. I've wept tears over my family. I've recognized who I am. I've recognized what my responsibility is. I've gone up to the angel. I've gone up to Jesus Christ and I've said, Lord, give me that book. Give me my inheritance because I want to claim. I've got some redemption claims that I want to make. I've got something that I want to have here. That's what we're longing for, friends. Are you going to bring your family underneath that token? Amen. Are you going to apply it in its fullness and its power? There's something in this sixth day that's calling for you. I don't know what day you're in. You might be back here in the first day. You might be back here not yet baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You might be back here still longing for miracles and signs and wonders. But there is something in this sixth day that's calling out to you. It's that token life. It says, you've got your inheritance. Now lay claims to it. The Spirit and the Bride are calling, come. Let's raise, if you would. Musicians would come. I've gone long this morning. I apologize for that. Let's go before the Lord. Father, we just come before you, Lord. Lord, I've delivered my heart this morning just as best as I know how, Lord. Hear your people stand, your words come forth. I wonder, Lord, if there would be a heart that could say that I've been impacted today. And I've heard a word that I've never heard before. There's something in my heart that's calling me to another day. I wonder if there would be a hand that would raise up in response to God. Say, Lord, I hear your voice. I don't know what to do with it yet, maybe. But I want you to see my hand this morning. I want you to see at least that I hear your voice. I want you to at least see that I recognize your call to another day. Lord, I don't want to be stuck in this day. Lord, I don't want to be stuck in this place. Father, I want to be saved. I want to cross over that third day. Maybe you've never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you raise up your hand and say, Lord, I want to cross over into my day. Lord, I commit to you right now that I'm going to listen to that word. If you want to commit to the Lord that you'll be baptized in his name, would you raise up your hands? Just commit. Lord, I want to come underneath that power. God bless those hands. God bless you. God bless you. Remember, he saw those hands. Keep your promise and he'll keep his promise to you. Maybe there would be someone here this morning that would say, I've crossed over the third day. That's long behind me, but I've got more desires. I haven't seen the miracles. I haven't seen the restoration of the gifts. I want to see that in my life. It's for you. The abstract title deed is in his hands. Would you raise your hands and say, Lord, I want to see the miracles. I want to see the signs. I want to see that. Yes, the Lord sees that. That's a righteous desire. God says that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they'll be filled. God bless you. I wonder if there would be someone that would also say, though, that Lord, there's something beyond all that that I'm hungering for. There's something like Enoch desired for it. Paul desired for it. There's an inheritance that I want, Lord. And I've heard you this day that you've already taken the book for me. And that now I hear you calling and telling me to come and take that book. Lord, I want to know what's in that book. You would raise your hands and say, Lord, I want to eat on that book until it becomes a part of me. God bless you. Those that are already feasting on that book, every head bowed, you're already feasting on that book. But you can say, as I begin to read this book and as I begin to read this message and read my Bible that's become open before me, I realize that there's something more here. There's something more than just living a godly life, but there's living the real life of Christ. And when he came to this earth, he could say in his prayer to God that, Lord, I have not lost a one of them that you've given me, save the son of perdition. Maybe there would be something that would rise up in your heart, say, I don't have any son of perdition. I don't have any scripture written about the ones that the Lord's given me. I want them all. Lord, I want that at the end of this age, when this Gentile age is cut short, I want to be able to say the same thing that you said, that I took my token and I applied it over the doors of my house. I applied it over my life. I took that token. I took that redemption claim. I took that abstract title deed and I used it for your glory, Lord. Not for signs so much. That was just back there at the other pools. But Lord, I see something that I'm identified with Hattie Wright. That when she got the hold of that third pool in her life, she didn't use it for money. She didn't use it for all these things that have come before us and have come and gone. But she used it for people that were on her heart. She used it for souls, Lord. And that's what the message is telling us. The message says that this bride has thus saith the Lord. Amen. But the reason that she has thus saith the Lord is she has the character to handle it. Amen. He says that she has thus saith the Lord and she knows what he wants done with that word. Maybe you can recognize this morning that when he came to the earth, what he did with his token was that he applied it overneath of those that the Lord gave him. He said, Father, I have not lost a one of them. Maybe you've been living tonight, and maybe you've been living and saying, I've lived a good enough life. I'm enjoying the grace of God, and I'm allowed to have these movies in my home. I'm allowed to have this, that, or the other, because it's the grace of God. But have you considered the little eyes that are watching you? Have you considered the little ears that are listening? The little impressionable hearts that every little spirit affects them? Have you applied the token over your home for their lives? See, friends, that's why we had to have divine love drop down in this hour. It's because when divine love drives us forward, it's no longer excessive grace or abuse of law. It's becoming in the character of Christ that says, I want to do only the will of my Father. And I don't care what it takes. I'll cut off whatever I have to cut off that I might sanctify myself for their sakes. Maybe you can see, like I had a young man that came down to my house the other day. Not my family, but something dropped in my heart for him. He's my brother. I believe in his soul. I believe that it's called in that book of redemption. He began to tell me about how he'd been out of church and how he had different things in his life that I can't tell. And I saw demons over his life. But something rises up within me. As I look back upon the Word of God, as I look back on my title deed, it says that I can speak this mountain. It says that I can chase 1,000 demons. It says that I've got redemption claims that I can lay upon someone. You think, Josiah, no, that's got to be only for my redemption, isn't it? You only have power over your own salvation, not another soul. But no. I look back in the time of Paul speaking to the Philippian jailer. A woman came with the same question, 1964, questions and answers. Asked the prophet, you talked about this, that, and the other. Does that mean that we can pray a prayer of faith for the salvation of our family? And there the prophet said, oh, I hear the heart of a mother crying for her people. He says, yes, sister. Yes, it means exactly that. And he takes her back to the fundamental foundation of the word. He says, remember that Philippian jailer in Paul. And Paul told him that if you can have faith, you and your household would be saved. See, the token is the evening time message. That's what we're living underneath of. And when we're given this power of an inheritance, that's what we ought to be using it for. If you could say, Lord, I've heard your call this morning. I've heard you say that I need to come up and take that book of inheritance and eat it. Lord, I'm committing to you to raise my hands right now. And by the raising of this hand, I hereby commit to you. I'm going to apply that token like I've never applied it before. I'm going to eat that book like I've never eaten it before. That one day my life might be able to cry out with the Spirit as part of this bride, that last one, come. Where the Spirit and the bride is calling in the last hour, come, come, come ye weary, come ye that feel that you are unrighteous, to come to his righteousness. Come in this last day where the evening lights are upon us, come and call in that last soul. Lord, you see our hearts before you this morning, Lord. My hand's been raised, Father. Lord, you brought me so far, I can look back and I can see my life broken and battered, Lord, and I can see the temper, and Lord, I can see everything else. And then how you changed my life and you transformed me. And Lord, I thought I was good enough once I got your Holy Ghost. And then battles came and I had to fight those battles. And Lord, I got distracted with my own battles, Lord. I'm coming out on the other side of this day, now victorious. But I look around me, Lord, and I see wounded soldiers all over the battlefield. And Lord, it's not enough that I could make it through. Lord, I don't believe that I'm to be raptured just like Enoch all by himself. But Lord, I've got brothers and sisters that they that are alive and which will remain would be caught up with me, Lord. Father, I pray that you would bring with my brothers and sisters that have said that they're praying this prayer with me now. Lord, we all together pray, recommit ourselves anew to you, Lord, that your divine love would come so much through us until our lives, our very lives, would call out with the power of a token, come. Lord, you've heard my redemption claims. You've heard the claims that I've laid upon that soul. Lord, you see the souls that are laying heavy upon the people's heart out there. Lord, I pray that that inheritance would come into effect, and there would be a divine faith that would drop down with a divine love that would bring it to pass. Grant it, dear Lord. If there's anything in our lives this morning as we've committed to you, if there's anything in our lives that just isn't right, Lord, we've committed that we'll bring ourselves underneath the power of your spoken word, however you would correct us. Speak to us, Lord. As we go to our homes and meditate on these things, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would come and speak softly, gently, cooing like that dove, and lead these little lambs of yours. Lead us into the next day, Lord. Then when we come up the very threshold of that sixth day, may we not leave a single one behind as we cross into the millennium. Grant it, dear Lord, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Brother David, if you would come. I've learned a long time ago not to try singing, but there's one thing I would like to sing. If Brother David would come, if we could just sing that song that brought the angel's presence every time, only believe. Only believe that God really has done these things in this hour. Only believe that Jesus Christ really is here among us. Only believe that you can take that title deed and take it right on back and apply it over the lives of those that are around you. Let's sing it together now.
Believe. Only believe. Are possible.
it, friends. Let's sing back.
Jesus is here.
Jesus is here. All things are possible. Jesus is here. Now I believe. Now I believe. Now I believe. All things are possible. Now I believe.
How many enjoyed that? Amen. Amen. I mean, if anybody would have need of prayer today, whatever your situation is, wherever you're at, if you'd have a need of prayer and you wanted to come forth this time, you can come. Amen. Let's just sing that song, How Great Is Our God. Amen. How many want to be molded into that very shape, the very what God has for you? Amen.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great. Great is our God, and age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. Godhead three are one, the Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great. You're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great. above all names. With